You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Welcome. Welcome to Sun Life Church. It is good to have you here. I just want to say, share a few things first before I teach the word of God. Our vision for 2025 is ripples of love, creating ripples of love, loving people here, loving people outside the four walls of Sun Life Church. And one of the things that I kind of floated on Vision Sunday was this idea of a community garden. We want to use the land at the front of our church building on Oxford Street. And we want to create a community garden for anyone in the community who just want to grab some free fruit and vegetables. And I really felt that that's what the Lord really wants for us to do as a community in 2025. I've spoken to some of our residents who are horticulturalists, and they've said to me the best time to plant will be in spring. So they're saying September, October is the best time to put the seeds down. And I want to plant vegetables, I want to plant fruits, and I want to bless our community. It's because we know that there are a lot of Aussies who are struggling. And I want them to come and just collect what they want to collect and just be blessed by this church here. Now, why am I saying that? It's because I need a group of fellas who can help prepare that part of the church building. We need to remove some walls. We need to create access so that people can come off the streets of Oxford Street and into our premise to collect the fruits and vegetables. And we need to clear the soil so that we can put some new soil onto the land. And so I'm saying this right now. If you have the ability to help prepare this huge garden, then I need your help. I'm looking for a team of male and female, ladies and gentlemen, anyone who would have the time to start removing soil and the wall and building retaining walls. And we have to get this all done by September, October this year. So if that is you, and please pray and seek the Lord, if that is you, I would love to catch up with you on Sunday, the 23rd of March, in 2 weeks' time, immediately after service, and just cast vision and share ideas and then get the ball rolling. And you know, you might not be handy, but you can just be there to help with anything. I would love for you to be there. So please, that's on Sunday, the 23rd of March. I'm looking for a team. And the commitment would be most likely once or twice a month on a Saturday. You know, maybe 5 hours, we just come here and we'll just do bits and pieces in preparation for the soil to come in so that we can start planting by September. So that's the first thing. The second thing that I really need you to pray and I need your help is Alpha. May the 11th, we're going to launch Alpha. Alpha is an amazing opportunity for us to invite our friends who do not know the gospel and let them ask questions about this Jesus that we're following, the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And I would love for us to start inviting our friends, start praying for our friends. I'm needing people to cater. I'm needing people to facilitate tables, discussion. I'm needing people just to greet and welcome people. So can you pray if you can actually be part of Team Alpha? It will be term two, the entire term two, 7-8 weeks or so. Can you also pray for your family and your friends who, you know, maybe God has been speaking to you of late? Maybe pray for them so that you can invite them to come along and hear the presentation of the gospel. So that's Alpha around the corner. And if you are interested in helping out with Alpha, just hop into the Alpha, to the church app, and let us know so that we can find a suitable time for us together to pray and envision of what Alpha looks like. It is term two, just around the corner. This is the best time to start praying for someone, best time for inviting someone. And also, if you want to be part of Team Alpha, I would love for you to just really come and hear us out so that we can start Alpha. Is that okay? that's just the two things that I want to encourage you to consider. I'm going to invite Jason now to read the Word of God before I come and teach the Word of God. Here's Jason.
We're reading from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. If you have your Bible, you can take it out now. Verse 42 of Acts, chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and their Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Thank you, Jason. You know, if you ask the average Aussie, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of the word church? A lot of the time, the replies would be, well, that's where my friends go on Sunday, or maybe a place of prayer, or a beautiful old building that I got married in some years ago. Some might say, well, it's irrelevant because I'm not religious. Others may say, well, it's that place where they take 10% of your earnings, you know? Or they might say, well, I believe in God, but I do not have the time to go to church. So this thinking, right, reduces church to an activity that takes place on Sunday. Church becomes an activity we attend, an activity we tick off the box because we follow Jesus, or an activity that we do if we have time, right? So we think that church is a place and not the people, or church is a building and not the believers. Saint Irenaeus, a century after Jesus, he says this: the church is the body of Christ, the community of those who are united in faith, hope, and love. Most recently, Pastor Rick Warren, he says this: the church is not just a building or an organization, it's a community of people who are called to love and serve God and each other. The key word here would be community. The church is the community of faith who have been saved by God, set aside by God, to serve one another and bring glory to God. People who God has saved so that we are to serve one another, serve Him, and bring glory to Him. The late John Stott, he says this: the church is to bring glory to God by her mission, her ministry, and what? Community life. We see it again, that word community. A people of God doing life together, loving and caring and serving one another as we bring glory to God. And it's in this community here, this community of followers here, that we become the person Jesus would be if He were us. Because in this community here, the goal is for us to be more like Jesus. Our thoughts, hopefully, will be like Jesus. Our words will be like Jesus. Our actions will be like Jesus. Our response to the pressures of life will be like Jesus. And when that takes place, we're truly the church, because that's when we bring glory to God. And we see that being played out in Acts chapter 2. See, the people of God, they lived a life that's so God-centered that what God did was that He began to bless them. And I'll show you the blessing of God. Go back to the text. Look at the very end of that passage in verse 47. They were praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That phrase there, the favor of all the people, speaks of all the people outside the community of faith. In other words, the surrounding community. They were being blessed by the people inside the four walls of the church. And then the favor of these people were upon God's people. And God blessed the people with joy and gladness and praising. And the text is very clear. God also what? added new people into the community. You see that? I'll share you a very encouraging testimony. A few weeks ago, I was at our play group that takes place here on Friday morning. Around 80% of the people that come to our play group, they're not from Sun Life Church. And I was talking to one mother, and she said to me, Friday morning is the highlight for her little boy. The little boy looks forward to Friday morning. And on that same morning, I began to speak to three young mums who are regulars at the playgroup. And one of them I actually know because she was a student that I taught some 15, 20 years ago. And towards the end of the chat, the other two mums, all right, said to me, Mr. Nguyen, you are also our teacher. In other words, they reminded me that I was also their teacher, and they kept calling me Mr. Nguyen instead of Bin, right? And they all said this to me, thank you so much for providing this playgroup so that we as young mums can connect together and also connect to other mums. You see, when we create ripples of love, not only here, but outside the four walls of God, oh wow, the favor of these people will be upon what God is doing here. And then the Bible is very clear that God begins to what? Add or send people into the community so that we would love and disciple them in the ways of Jesus. And so what I want to do this morning is look into the community life found in Acts chapter 2 and see how they created ripples of love. And we too can be a community like that so that favor is upon us from those outside the walls of Sun Life. And may God, in His time, in His grace, send people so that we would love and disciple them in the ways of Jesus. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Or open up the church app. There are three things I see in the text I want to teach you, and this is what they did so well. Number one, there was a devotion to doctrine. Number two, commitment to community. And number three, expectation of the extraordinary. And that's what I want to do. So let me pray, and we'll work the text together. Let me pray. Father God, I pray now that you would help me as I teach and I expound your word. God, I need your help. Holy Spirit, will you be our great teacher right now? Would you use me? Would you allow me to speak your word with clarity, with authority, with passion? Oh Lord, will you open our eyes and our ears to receive your word right now, that we would leave this morning knowing what community life looks like, a life that brings glory to you, that creates ripples of love. So would you help us all right now? Give us eyes and ears to listen to your word. Help us. Be with me, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. A devotion to doctrine. Like when we are devoted to something and we really want to commit to something, whether it's like falling in love with someone, all right, or a skill that we want to master or a project we want to accomplish, when we are devoted to something, there's always commitment. Is that right? And there's always time set aside to that area of importance. You can tell someone's devotion because the inward desire will always be displayed outwardly. I'll give you an example. Let's just say your child is devoted to study, all right? Now, this might be a hard example to wrap your head around, but just hang in there and just listen carefully, all right? Let's say he or she is really devoted to study. Well, you know, because they will often tell you of their love for study. Is that right? Every time they're in their room, they'll be studying. Yeah, they'll wake up early in the morning. They'll get changed. They'll have breakfast, and they cannot wait for you to take them to school because they love to study. Yeah, you notice there's a lot of time and effort, and it's very obvious because when you're committed and you are devoted to something, there's always perseverance. There's always passion, enthusiasm, consistency, commitment, and that's exactly what we see here. The people of God, they were committed to doctrine. Go to the text, look in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching here is scripture. It's the teaching of God's word. You know, when we study God's word, we're going to know more about God. We're going to know God's love for us. We're going to know God's will for us and God's way for us. And all that is doctrine. And we see that very clearly played out in Acts chapter 2. There is a devotion to the apostles' teaching. In other words, a devotion to the teaching of Scripture, the Word of God. The people of God, they were committed. They were enthusiastic, passionate, consistent with God's Word. This was very important to them. And I could imagine, and I picture this, that the apostles are teaching and the people are seated by the feet of the apostles with their Bibles open, leaning in, ready to listen to what they have to say, a bit like what I'm seeing here. And FYI, for your info, there were no Bibles back then, okay? So that was just to see if you were paying attention, all right? But they were listening. They were leaning in. And look what our Lord Jesus Christ says to us at the very end of his ministry, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The heart of discipleship is teaching. Teaching is the key. Jesus says, teaching people to obey all that I have commanded. And the only way for us to know God's command, God's will for us, God's ways for us, is when we are devoted in the Word of God. As you spend more time in God's Word, saturate your mind in God's Word, you know God's plans for you. You know what you should do, what you shouldn't do. And that's how you grow in the areas of discipleship. And here's the reason why. Listen carefully. Because we live in a time where we are bombarded with words everywhere. Words in email, website, social media messages. And these words are all coming at us. And what we read and what we believe in will ultimately shape us. And that's the reason why a devotion to God's Word is so important, because we put God's Word above all the other words that are coming towards us. We say that, yes, we live in a time where there's so many words coming our way, but the Word of God will always be above all those words. And that is authoritative. The psalmist says this in Psalms 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Friends, I tell you right now, we live in a world where we need to be saturated in God's word. We live in a world where we must be devoted to the Word of God, because there's so much words coming our way, and God's word must always stand supreme, must be above everything, and we run everything through the Word of God. And yes, there'll be certain times where the Word of God is very uncomfortable and we don't like it and it's against the grain of this culture, but that's the moment when we say, God, your word is higher than all the words that are coming my way. And unless we are devoted and committed to the Word of God, culture will get a better, stronger grip of us. We should be a community, friends, this church here, where we are always reading the Word of God. We should be a community where we are always preaching the Word of God on Sunday. We should be a community where we are encouraging one another and asking the question, hey, what is God saying to you through His Word? Wouldn't it be great if it's a norm here at Sun Life Church? The normal practice is for us to ask one another, what have God been teaching you lately through His Word? Or maybe after service, when we go out for a meal and we have lunch together, the norm here is asking, hey, what did God say to you through the teaching of His Word, through the pastor or the preacher? Wouldn't that be a beautiful norm? That we are always, always reminding each other the importance of God's word here. I think that's a beautiful question that we could also ask one another in our family. You know, ask your spouse, what's God been saying to you through His word? Ask your children, what has God been saying to you through His word? Ask the people in your connect group. Ask the people here, because the more we ask that question, what we're saying is that we are so devoted to the Word of God. that we are saturating ourselves in God's word, that we want to be a biblical literate church here. And I believe when we do more of that and we do that well, wow, we're going to follow Jesus a lot better. This is what C.S. Lewis says about God's word. We cannot know God apart from Scripture. The Bible is our only reliable source of information about God and His will for our lives. So as we begin to read His word, hear from Him, obey, we will grow in the ways of Jesus and we'll be more like Jesus. And my encouragement, together, the community life here at Sun Life is one where there's devotion to doctrine. And if you and I can keep each other accountable, if we can do that, I guarantee you, we're going to create ripples, not here, but also out there as God changes us through His word. Amen? That's the very, very first thing. And may you commit to that. May I commit to that. May we encourage each other and sharpen one another. Secondly, what I see here is a commitment to community. Look in verse 42 and 46. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which I've just discussed, and to fellowship and the breaking of bread. Verse 46, they broke bread in their homes and they ate together with gladness and sincere hearts. The breaking of bread here is not communion. The breaking of bread here speaks of eating food together in their homes. They wanted to be together. They wanted to do life together. Isn't it true there's something special about eating together? Is that right? Like, I believe that food is the universal language. It doesn't matter where you are from around the world, you know, but when you throw people together and you put food in the middle of it, there's a connection. Amen? I mean, the Irish proverb reads this, laughter is brightest in the place where the food is. Isn't that true? It's so true, right? Like when we eat together, there is joy, there's laughter, and it brings us closer. A few years ago, I was eating raw horse meat. Yes, you heard that right. Raw horse meat. And I do not remember the taste of it. Praise God. But I do remember the company. I do remember the people that I had that particular dish with, and hallelujah, we're still alive by the grace of God. But isn't it true? There's something special about when we come together and we eat together, and at that table fellowship, there's a connection. We let our guard down. Is that right? We begin to be open and we begin to share our struggles and our deep thoughts. It always happens over food. Henry Nouwen, an amazing Christian writer, he says this, eating together is a sacred act. It is a time when we get to let our masks down, when we can be ourselves, and when we can share in the joy and the struggles of others. We share in the good times and the not so good times. And we notice that taking place in the community life in Acts chapter 2. Go with me to verse 44 and 45. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold properties and possessions to give to one another, right, who had need. You see that? They carried each other's burden. They took care of one another. They were generous towards one another. And that's what happens. When you eat together and you remove the mask and you remove the barriers and you begin to share your struggles, that's when you can carry each other's burden. And that's what I would love to see more at Sun Life Church here. That we, as we grow larger, we grow smaller as we commit to community. That we are meeting people, that we are breaking bread, sharing food, so that we can lower the barriers, remove the masks, and help each other in the ups and downs of life. There's something special about eating. And now don't come up with excuses. Or, you know, my house is too small. Or, my house is a mess. Or, I don't know how to cook to save my life. Listen carefully. It's not about what we eat. It's about what God can do over the time of eating. That's what God does. It's never been about what you're putting on the table. It's about what God can do in that moment where you're just eating and just beginning to remove the barriers and taking off the mask and sharing the joys and the struggles of life. And that's when you carry each other's burden, and that's when you commit to one another and help one another here. I'll share your testimony. Last year, someone shared with me a moment when an invitation was handed out to this particular young man after the church service, and that invitation helped that young man from falling into sin that afternoon. You see, this young man here was struggling with a particular temptation, and he had nowhere to go after service. And a couple in the church, prompted by the Holy Spirit, invited this young man over for a simple lunch after the service. And this man here was quite hesitant, but eventually accepted the offer and came over for lunch. And it was over lunch that this young man experienced the overwhelming love of God through this couple here. And it was that kind act of just inviting him over for a lunch, hearing him out, praying with him, helping him see the love of God, that this particular young man did not fall into sin that afternoon. You know, you can be the agent of God's grace and God's helping hand to help someone from falling into sin simply over a meal. That's what God can do in this church right here. That as we commit to community, not just come and go, but commit to one another as we break bread, as we begin to share a meal and hear each other out and say, how can I stand with you? How can I carry your burden? How can I help you? I guarantee you, we can help one another follow Jesus a lot better. And so my encouragement is this: find a community. Commit to a community. Church is not a place that we come to on Sunday, not a moment that takes place on a Sunday, but rather a community of followers living together, encouraging one another as we follow Jesus together. There are plenty of communities out there. Maybe you've had some really bad experiences with community. Don't let your past dictate what God can do tomorrow. Find a community. Maybe right now, God wants you to start a community. Maybe you have been wrestling with God and God has been saying, I want you to start a community. Friends, I would love for you to start a community. Come and talk to me. Let's create more communities here at Sun Life Church. Let's create opportunities for us to come together, not just on Sunday, but in smaller fellowship groups throughout the week as we break bread, as we hear each other out, as we pray and support one another. And don't let the evil one throw in reasons for not being part of community. You know, you're not good enough. You won't be able to love people. You don't have the answers to their problems. And the honest truth is, you probably don't, but God has the answer to their problems. You can bring it all to God in prayer. Oh, your house is not big enough. Your house is a mess. You can't cook. Don't let the devil put those voices into your head. But create moments where you can still gather. If that is you, come and speak to me. I would love for you to create communities with me. We can commit to one another in community. Amen? Number three is an expectation of the extraordinary. Look at verse 43. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostle. You know, God was allowing the supernatural to take place, and there were many signs and wonders, and everyone were amazed with what they saw. This is what I believe, that God hasn't changed. I believe that we should expect God to do the miracles today. Yes, we are a Reformed church. Yes, I am a Calvinist, but I'm also charismatic. That this is a church here that believes in the supernatural. This is a church here that believes that God still do his miracles today, that God is able to heal. God is able to save your lost friends. God is able to give you that breakthrough that you're longing for. And I believe that God has not changed, my friends. And I believe that we should expect miracles to still take place today. I believe that when we, as the community of God, gather and we are hungry for the presence of God, God will manifest in supernatural, extraordinary ways. We must never forget, friends, listen carefully, that we are very different to the communities out there because God's presence is here. We are not the local sporting club. We are not the RSL or the PNC. We are not the local social club. We are the people of God, the bride of Christ, the redeemed and the ransomed. God is here. God is a supernatural God, and God still works miracles today. And we must never forget that. So when we gather here on a Sunday, or when we gather in our small group, or when we are praying with people, we must never forget that God is with us. And the supernatural God who has done those miracles in the past can still do the miracles today. This place should never be a place where it's predictable, a place where it's normal and, you know, average. God is here. God is here, my friends. Augustine, he says this, we are a spiritual community united in our love for God and our love for one another. This is a spiritual place. We worship a supernatural God, a God of miracle, and he is here. And he has not changed. So the miracles in the past is a miracle that we should expect today. We should believe that God will show up if we are hungry for him. We should believe that God will speak to us if we want to hear from him. We should believe and expect that God will take care of our needs when we cry out to him. We should believe and expect that God is able to save our family and friends. We should believe and expect God to do the extraordinary. Because God is a supernatural God. He's a God of miracle. And my friend, he is here with us here. You know the problem with the Western church? And that's us as well. Is that we don't think God can do the miracles of the past today. That's the problem with the Western church. But I look around the world. And I look at what God is doing in other parts of the world. There are miracles, signs and wonders. God is working miraculously in Africa, in China, in India, in Vietnam. And that's the same God that we sing out to, the same God that we pray to. And I wonder why he's not doing that in the Western world. Our God is still the same. A.W. Tozer says this, the supernatural is not an occasional visitor to the Christian. It is the constant companion. God is here, and we should expect the extraordinary because we belong to a supernatural community. The supernatural is the natural atmosphere of the people of God. It should be our norm. Amen? And I believe that with all my heart, that we, when we gather on a Sunday here, how many of us that we gather here, if we are hungry for the presence of God, the Bible is very clear. If we draw close to God, he will draw to us. When we are hungry for the presence of God, the supernatural, the extraordinary becomes something we expect every week. He is here. And when you are praying for someone, listen carefully. You should pray expecting God is able to change the situation. You let God be God. You let God do what he needs to do. But you trust that he's a supernatural, extraordinary God. You know, if you are needing God for a breakthrough, you should expect that God is able to help you. Why? Because he is an extraordinary, supernatural God. When we worship God on a Sunday, when we gather here to sing songs and praises to him, we should not do the motion of singing. We should come expecting to encounter God when we gather here every Sunday. Otherwise, the devil is very smart. The devil wants us to think that church is just a moment on Sunday. And we come and we do the routine of singing and saying hi to people and hearing me preach for half an hour, and then we go home and we question, where is God? I wonder why God didn't show up. Maybe because we didn't expect him to show up. We should expect the extraordinary. Let me finish off with this testimony. David Livingston was a medical missionary from Scotland sent to Africa to reach the tribes in Africa. And in his diary, he wrote one moment when he realized that one of the African tribe tracked him down and located his campsite. And this particular chief of the tribe were ready to murder him and all the Christian workers that evening. It was on January the 14th, 1856. And in his diary, he wrote this: "It is evening. I felt much turmoil and fear in the prospect of having all my plans knocked on the head. But miraculously, the African tribe did not kill him and the people that night. And by the grace of God, the entire tribe came to know Jesus." Wow. And years later, David Livingstone met up with the chief of the tribe and asked him, "You know, I heard rumors that you and your men were about to kill me and all those in my campsite." And he said, "Yes, that is correct," the chief replied. "We're about to kill you. However, when we arrived to the campsite, we saw 47 huge warriors with swords surrounding the campsite. And we left." Now, Livingstone was baffled. Like, there was no soldiers or warriors circling the campsite. Anyhow, years later, he returned back to Scotland, and Livingstone would share this testimony of God's protection. And after sharing the testimony, a man from the church came up to him with a prayer journal. And he asked Livingstone, "You know that incident you shared about, you know, the chief trying to kill you? Can you remind me again the date?" He goes, "Yeah, I would never forget that date. January the 14th, 1856. And this man quickly turned to the prayer journal to that particular date. And he said to Livingstone, "Did you know a group of men came to the church building and prayed for your safety and protection that particular day? And I was there and I wrote down the number of men praying, and there were 47 men praying for you." You're telling me God doesn't work the miracle? He does. And I'm pretty sure these 47 men, when they were praying, they weren't just praying wishy-washy where. They were praying, believing that God is able to do something on the other side of the world. And God did that to protect Livingstone. And we know this is true because in David Livingstone's diary, he recorded that moment. I think, Sun Life Church, we must never reduce God to a predictable God, an ordinary God. We must expect God to do the extraordinary, because He hasn't changed, my friend. The signs and wonders that God did in Acts chapter 2 and the people were in awe, God can do that today. And I think for some of us here, maybe we need a touch of God again. For some of you, you're praying for your situation, you're praying for your marriages, you're praying for your children, you're praying for your work, you're praying for yourself, and maybe in your prayer, you're just throwing it out there without realizing that, no, you are praying to a supernatural God, a God who loves you, a God who's able to change your situation. Expect God to do the work in you. He's a good God. Maybe for some of you this morning, you really need to experience God again in a supernatural way. Friends, He is here. He is here. He loves you. Maybe for some of us here, you don't even know this God. You don't know that this God loves you. He loves you a lot. He has a purpose for you. You're here with a purpose, with a reason, because He's drawing you back to Him. He has a plan for you. And my encouragement is for you to experience Him and to know Him personally. He's a good God. So I believe the community life at Sun Life, right here, that will create ripples, bringing favor to the people outside the four walls, will take place if there's a devotion to doctrine. Keep this as being central. Let's read, let's study, let's saturate our minds in the Word of God. A commitment to community. Don't just come and go. Don't come and worship and go. No, find people to help you follow Jesus. Find people who will pray with you, break bread together with gladness, with joy. And lastly, an expectation of the extraordinary. He is still able to change you. Amen. He's a good God. Let's not reduce God down to a God in a box that we pull out or we know how He's going to operate. No, we don't. He is God. He's able to do the miracle in your situation. With all eyes closed, let me pray for you, Sun Life Church. Let me pray for you. Let me create a moment for us to really encounter God. A moment for us to really receive God right now. Maybe, friends, maybe this morning there are some of us here where you just need more of God. You're at a dead end. And you've tried everything. You've exhausted everything. But you haven't turned to God. You haven't trusted God. You haven't trusted God is a supernatural God. And you need more of God this morning. I'm saying God is waiting for you. God is here. He is here. We are the people of God. This is a community where God is doing a mighty work in us. I want to create a moment for us to really come and experience God. For some of you, maybe it's just you need to confess, you need to repent, you need to put God first. You can't remember the last time you read the Word of God. The only time you're in Scripture is on Sunday when, you know, the teacher here is preaching to you. But God is doing a work right now that you have to be in His Word. For some of you, you're running away from community because you don't want people to know your mess. Friends, it's okay. There's no one perfect here. We're all a mess here. No one's perfect here. We're on a journey of just following Jesus here. So what I want to do now is I want to pray for you. I really want to pray with you. I want to stand with you. I want to believe with you and expect that God can do a supernatural work in your heart right now. God, I pray for Sun Life Church right now. I pray for the people here. Lord, I ask you to do a work right now in our hearts right now. Oh God, would you just begin to just, oh Holy Spirit, I pray that you come and do a mighty work right now. Oh God, we just need you right now. We can't do this apart from you. I know of many situations in this church where we're needing a breakthrough from you. Not from man, but from God. Oh Lord, will you come? Will you come right now and do that work right now, God? We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We welcome you. Friends, we're going to stand right now and we're going to sing. And we're going to sing wholeheartedly. Just not the motion of singing, but really worship God. And then we're going to create a moment. And if you are needing prayer, if you want a fresh touch and encounter with God, if you're needing a breakthrough, I invite you to come forward right now because I would love to pray for you. I would love to stand with you and believe that God is able to change your situation. So we sing and we exalt the name of our risen Lord. And we come forward to receive Him right now. If that is you, you come right now. Let's do that right now. Let's worship God. And I would love to pray and minister to you in this time. Can we do that? Let's do that right now. Let's worship and let's come forward to receive a time of just ministering to one another and expect that God can change situation, because I believe that God is here and God wants to meet some of us here this morning. We can let go of all the masks and all the barriers and receive God. Let's do that right now. Let's worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, God.
I follow Jesus.
I follow Jesus. Come on, let's come and pray. Let's pray.
He wore my sin.
If you need prayer,
gladly
no, no shame, no guilt. No shame, no guilt.
He is the treasure.
Hallelujah. Come on. He is here, my friend. He wants to stand with you. He wants to restore you. He wants to heal you. You come forward right now.
I follow Jesus.
Come on. Hallelujah. Jesus.
I follow Jesus. He wore my sin.
Come on.
Gladly wear His name. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. And if you strike me, I will embrace. And if you chain me, I'll sing his praise. And if you kill me, my whole
to pray for anyone here this morning. You don't have to come forward, But if you have been praying for a family member who you really love that is far from Jesus, and you really want to see them return to Jesus, I would love to pray for you. So if that is you, can you just raise your hands? Because I would love for anyone, yes, people that you know that you have been praying for and you've given up hope, right? I want to pray a prayer of blessing and hope, believing that God can do the miracle in your situation. You raise your hand if there's a loved one that you've been trying to pray for and you've been giving up. Lord Jesus, I pray for the many people who've raised their hands. Lord, they don't want to give up hope, Lord. They love so many of their family members, whether it's a parent or a brother or a child. Lord, I pray for them in the name of Jesus Christ that you do a miracle right now, God, that you would give them first and foremost hope that you have not forgotten the person they're praying for. Hope, believing that you're able to save. Oh, Lord, I pray right now, God, that they'll never give up in loving this particular member, Lord. I pray, Lord, there's a fire right now, God, that they will just keep praying, keep fasting, keep trusting that you do a work in their situation, God. So, Lord, I pray right now, I pray a blessing, God, that you will just change hearts, that you will soften hearts, God. Opportunities, God, for them to speak the gospel, even opportunities for them to invite them to Alpha, God. So I pray in the name of Jesus, the name above all name, that you will do a miracle, that you will restore life, that you will draw people back to your family, God, that we will never forget these people, that we will never give up on them, because you're an able God, that you're a good God, that you're a supernatural God. So would you bless them, Lord? I pray for Sun Life Church, Lord, that we would live that community life that you have called us to live, a life, God, where we love you and your word, that we will always be in your word. Your word be above all the words that we hear in this life. A life where we are committed to each other in community, God. Oh Lord, a life where we expect you to do what you do best, the supernatural, the extraordinary. You're a good God. Remind us, God, that we are a spiritual community, that you live, you rule and reign in us, Lord. We're grateful so much. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen, amen, hallelujah. Please grab a seat, hallelujah. I invite Jason just to continue on with the service.
Thanks, Pastor Ben.